Welcome to the Georgia Fishing Tactics Podcast, where you get the most current information for fishing Georgia waters. Catch a new episode every Friday so you hit the water prepared. Now, here's your host, Captain TJ Cheek.
Hey, Captain TJ here. Welcome to the Georgia Fishing Tactics Podcast. And this week, I just thought it'd be a little bit easier to just do a podcast instead of writing the report. That way, it just makes it a little bit easier to articulate what's been going on, what's going on this week, and then what we expect to happen in the coming weeks. So I guess what we'll do is kind of a good news, then the bad news, and then some speculation, and maybe a little bit of rigging advice. So the good news, the bull red bite has been really good. There's been a few days when the weather was really nasty, and we couldn't really fish all the places that we wanted to fish, so we didn't go out and catch, you know, 20 or 30 bull reds, but we still had successful days and brought bull reds to the boat. I think just about any given day you can go out there, fish, fish the river, fish around the rips if it's windy. If it's not too rough, go out front around the inlets, fish the edges of sandbars, and you're going to catch them. You just kind of have to, if you've never done it before, you just have to kind of look at the way the current runs, the way it hits a bar, and kind of think like a fish. Where would you stage to be able to ambush bait fish and crabs and that kind of thing that's being swept across the top of that bar? And you'll pretty much figure it out. You're going to dial it in. You get out there and fish around those bars, you're going to get it dialed in before too long. It's really some very, very basic fishing. It's not that technical at all. But that's the good news. The bull red bite's been off the chain. Now, the redfish, those big reds, have been here for a couple months now, which was kind of odd. We were catching them all through tarpon season. So, between them getting here early plus the cold weather that we're already having early, it kind of makes me think, are they going to leave early? And they just might. Last year, we caught them all the way into, the second week of November, and the water temperatures were bouncing between 58 and 62 degrees at that point. So, once it starts getting down below 65, it's starting to get into that zone where they might just take off and go back offshore. Now, the bad news is we've got some horrible tides coming up through this week and through this weekend. The bad thing about it is normally if we've got some really high tides, I'm like, okay, we'll just go fish around low tide. That way all the fish are, in a more concentrated area, whereas on high tide, that marsh floods. You can't tell where the mouth of a creek is. Nothing looks the same. The marsh is almost completely submerged. So you don't really want to fish around high tide, but around low tide you can usually find some fish. The bad thing is we're just really not going to have any low tide during the day through these tides. It's going to be midday high tide, so you're going to have the water coming up all morning and falling back out all afternoon. So not ideal by any means. It's going to be pretty tough across the board for inshore fishing. And lucky for us, we have a charity tournament to fish this weekend. I don't know how we planned a tournament around these tides, but it's going to be interesting to see how everybody works around it to get some fish on the boat for their anglers. So that's the good news and the bad news. Now for the speculation, I think that once we get these tides worked out, with the air temperatures that we have and the nighttime temperatures that we're seeing lately, a lot of days it's been in the 60s at night, as low as in the high 40s at night sometimes. So it's going to pull that water temperature down. And normally when it starts getting in, the 65 to 70 degree range, that's when the trout fishing just goes off. So I'm expecting this month to see a real uptick in the trout fishing. It's been good when we've been able to get out. We've had the northeast winds blowing. This week it looks like the weather's going to be beautiful, but we've got those big tides. So if we can just get, after these tides, if we can get decent tides and decent weather to occur at the same time, I think the inshore fishing is going to be great. There's a lot of those rat reds that we talked about. Over the last several months, they're starting to grow up a little bit, so they're a lot more fun to catch now. And the trout fishing has steadily gotten better. So let's just hope that when these tides work their way out and the water cleans up a little bit, that we'll have some weather so we can really go out there and see what's going on. And then, you know, as it starts to get colder, you know, the sheep's head fishing usually gets pretty good inshore. You know, in November, December, you'll start catching those sheep's head a lot more often inshore. So there should be plenty of good fishing to come yet. Let's just hope that the water cools down gradually and we don't have any crazy freezing weather like we did in, you know, around 2010, and it just shut everything down. So that's it for the speculation. And if you already know how to rig up for bull reds, you can stop listening now. But if you want to know, if you've never done it before and you just want a little bit of advice about how to rig, that's what I'm going to tell you about right now. The way I do it is I start out with a 8-ault Gamakatsu wide gap circle hook, and I use an 80-pound test monofilament leader. I'll tie my hook with a improved clinch knot, and I'll make my leader about 2.5 feet long, maybe 3 feet long. Then about 2/3 up the leader from the hook, I'll just tie an overhand knot. And the only reason for that overhand knot is to stop the sinker from sliding all the way down to the hook. So I'll tie that overhand knot, and then I'll slide a bead on the leader, and then a 3-ounce egg sinker. And then I'll tie a double surgeon loop at the top. And not two loops, but I'll tie a surgeon's loop, but I'll pass it through twice so that it doesn't slip out. And that's it. And then you can just take your snap swivel on the end of your main line, hook it in that loop, and you're good to go. Now, that overhand knot that you tie on your leader, some people will say, well, isn't that going to make your leader a little bit weaker? Yes, it's going to make it a little bit weaker. But you're making 80-pound test a little bit less efficient. So, you know, maybe now instead of 80-pound test, your leader's truly 40 or 50-pound test. I've never really had any problems with those fish breaking that leader at the knot while we're fighting them. The only time I've had that leader break is when you've got a fish at the boat and you grab the leader and they shake. Sometimes they'll pop it right there at that knot. But it's not a big deal. If you want to work around it, you can put a crimp on there or tie a swivel in line, but it's really unnecessary. So that's pretty much it for rigging for bull reds. It's basically just a 3 foot long, 3 foot long, 80-pound test leader with an 8-ault Gamakatsu circle hook and a 3-ounce egg sinker tied onto the leader. By putting the sinker on the leader itself, you don't have to worry about your sinker rolling up into your main line and getting your main line twisted around your sinker and losing a fish, or having it pass through your main line, pass through the sinker, and you get too much leash out on the other side of your sinker. You don't have to worry about any of that. So that's the way that I do it, and I'll put 4 rods out at a time. Now, as for bait, I didn't get a chance to catch any mullet because I was fishing a tournament down in St. Augustine, and then when I got back, the weather was bad, so I never got a chance to get out there. So what I've been doing is just bringing squid, starting out with squid, and catching whiting along the way. And as I start to catch some whiting, I'll start trading out the squid for cut whiting. And some days they prefer the squid over the whiting, and some days they prefer the whiting over the squid. So it's kind of good to have both, and if you can pick up some pogies out there, that's even better if you've got all three, and then you can give them a little bit of variety and adapt to whatever they're telling you that they want. But there are some pogies out there, just not as many as there were. And if you can get your hands on some fresh mullet, you know, that stuff's like heroin to a redfish, so by all means do that. So it's always a good idea to have a variety. But you can feel confident as long as you've got any one of those baits out there. You're going to get into something. You're going to catch a few as long as you've got a chunk bait of some sort out there on the bottom. That's pretty much it. If you've got any questions, go to the Georgia Fishing Tactics Forum. Go to www.georgiafishingtactics.com and just click on Forum, and you can ask a question in there. And if I don't respond, somebody else probably will. So that's it. Thanks. Tight lines.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to subscribe to the email list and have a new episode delivered right to your inbox every Friday. If you enjoyed the show, please let us know by leaving a comment at GeorgiaFishingTactics.com. Have a great week on the water. Tight lines.